Going over to the book of James tonight. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passion as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. Amen. We want to speak tonight concerning effectual prayer. I believe that prayer is something that is so very important in the child of God's life. There's many things that the Bible tells us that we should do. Jesus in his earthly ministry laid out a lot of things for us to do. But there's only one thing that he really said we should always do. Luke chapter 18 verse 1 says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Tonight, if the devil can get us to faint, we ain't no good to the cause if we're fainted. We're soldiers. We're fellow laborers together. Paul, the great apostle, many times throughout his writings, he asks for prayer on his own behalf. Prayer is essential to any ministry. And I believe that prayer is essential to revival. If we're really going to have revival, we're going to how to pray. Learn that prayer. Learn to pray like that. You know, I thought of the little sister that sang, Found the Secret. I've learned to pray. In my few years of serving God, long time before I was even thinking about maybe one day I would be a pastor, I would be a preacher, I spent much time in prayer. There were days when we first got saved. There was a few brothers there, young brothers, and we would go out Friday evenings and we would start a fast and we would stay right through Saturday night, and then we would come in 6 o'clock Sunday morning, have a prayer meeting at the church, stay to the morning, Sunday school and morning service, and after that we broke our fast. And those days, I believe, laid a foundation for continuity. Sometimes it's discouraging. Prayer can be discouraging at times, because God is such a great and a mighty and an awesome God that sometimes we want to feel like by the time we ask, it should happen right away. But it doesn't always work like that. Now, even Christ in his earthly ministry, sometimes he just touched the person and they were healed. And the next time, the Bible said, and from that moment, the servant began to amend. So there were some things that didn't happen instantly, and we need to realize that when it comes to prayer, we're going to have to really stay on our knees. We're going to have to learn to put our all in it. I believe that we can say prayers, and then I believe that we can pray, and then I believe we can pray more earnestly. So tonight, I'm not trying to down anyone, but I've seen prayer work. I've seen it. I've seen it work in healings. I've seen it work in strengthening believers. I'm telling you, everybody, as Sister Cummings had said the other night, even when her mother got so old and wasn't able to do much, she had to remind her, Mom, you can pray. Prayer is something that it doesn't matter. And one thing about it, the Bible says, if two of you agree, you know, as on earth as touching anything that we should ask of the Father, it shall be granted. Now, we believe that agreement is very, very important. But then the Bible said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much, which encourages me that every one of us can pray for ourselves. Every one of us can hold up a burden. Every one of us can carry carry a burden for the success of this meeting, for any meeting. You know, Brother Steve talked about inviting others over in the prayer room. I'm telling you, I believe that love, tears, and prayer will do more to bring than all of man's plans. You may plan to get the greatest speaker. You may plan to get the greatest singers. And you may plan. But I'm telling you, if where there is love for loss and there's tears mingled with prayer, things will happen. Prayer is a wonderful thing. The Bible, you know, when the Bible tells us that Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and then he prayed. It is something for us to realize it wasn't an army. Elijah prayed. He took on those 850 prophets, false prophets, and he challenged the people to serve God if he was God, and serve Baal if he was Baal. And he challenged those people. And we know how the story ended out, that a great victory was won for the God of Israel that day. And today, we come into the New Testament, and we see James alluding to that fact. As James alludes to Elias being a man subject to like passions as we are, it making us to know he was not a superhero. He was simply a man like we are. Got hungry, got tired, got sick. Just like we are. But he prayed earnestly that it would not rain for the space of 3 years and 6 months. Now that is something to really think about. The Bible didn't tell us in the Old Testament how long the heavens were shut up for. But Jesus made us to know over there in the 4th chapter of the book of Luke, I think it's the 25th verse, where he lets us to know that in the days of Elias, there was many widows, how God sent him only to this one particular widow, and the rest of the story is we see how he really prayed. But tonight I want us to focus in the fact that he prayed earnestly. To pray earnestly and effectually, I believe that prayer has to affect us first. Prayer that affects us. prayers that bring tears to our eyes and flood our heart with conviction of our coldness, our indifference, and how we could do better than what we've been doing. These are the times. You see, he says, confess your faults one to another. Yeah, we sat down together and said, brother, I want you to pray for me. I've grown cold in my prayer life. I'm not praying like how I used to. I'm skipping. I'm missing. I'm not as faithful as I used to be. Sister, I need your prayer. I don't want to fail. These are the things today. When you start to talk like that and you start to confess your faults and pray one for another, and I'm sure that person that you're talking to, they too will say, well, brother, while we're praying, pray for me too, because I don't want to fail. I want to be a light and an inspiration to everyone. I want to make a difference in my neck of the woods. So tonight, that earnest prayer, that is something for us to strive to focus into. You see, praying, the Bible lets us to know a lot of things about prayer. I love what the psalmist says and how he has committed himself to praying, and it's a wonderful thing. And even though you say you're going to do this, it's going to take a very much of a burden, a faithfulness, a consistency, if we're even going to be able to pray as we would commit ourselves to pray. The Bible tells us in Psalm 5, 1 to 3, he said, my voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up. So the psalmist committed himself to praying. And I still believe that it is good for us to commit ourselves to a time to pray. But I believe we can still pray and still be more on the surface than we could be. Depth. There could be more depth in our prayers. There could be more depth in our experience with God. I believe that. And I believe that earnest prayer, when we start talking to God and telling God what he already know about us. You see, so many times it seems like we get to the place many times that we just think, you know, God knows that we're faithful. God knows that we're doing this. God knows that. Now, he knows it, but he also knows with what kind of heart we're doing it with as well. That fervency, that deepness in our prayers is something I believe that the world in general lacks. Seeing anymore prayers that bring tears out. You know, there have been times, brethren, that I've gone to prayer and I talk to God. I get real candid. And there are times when things sort of wear and tear on you and you get before God and you start to tell him your real heart's desire. And those tears start flowing and they're hot, they burn as they leave the eye ducts. And you know, they run down your face. And when you get up from that kind of prayer, that's the time you feel the load's lifted. You feel that the answer is on the way. But many times we can just say prayers, say things, and just get up, and it never affected nobody, not even us. So this evening, we need to realize that prayer, there's a depth in prayer that we need to be seeking after. That earnest prayer where we tell God the very secrets of our heart, the very contents and intents and everything of our heart. We pour our heart out to him and soul and just ask him to have mercy upon us and to use us to his glory. And once we start getting that kind of depth in our prayers, I believe we will see revival in our land again. Because God still said, if my people, amen, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. Prayer and turn from their evil ways or wicked ways. He said, then will I hear from heaven. Then I'll forgive their sins and then I'll heal their land. In all our respective areas of origin or where we live, where we reside, I'm telling you, every one of us today is seeing a pulling away. Instead of people getting closer to God, it's just becoming a greater effort now, even just to get to the house of God. We are in the last days, I believe, and these are the days the Bible said that the love of men is going to wax cold, and we have to be striving to stay abreast in our prayer life if we're really going to make it. So tonight I'm not saying you, I'm saying we, because there's times, brethren, that preachers, every one of us from the pulpit to the pew, every one of us needs to get down before God and pour out before him really how cold and how indifferent and, you know, how we really are. And once we get to where we are open, ready to open up, you see, sometimes we want people to feel like we're flawless. We got it all put together. But brethren, we can't hide from God. Tonight, prayer is a wonderful thing. That effectual prayer. Prayer that affects the prayer. I tell you tonight, brethren, I believe I'm saved because of prayer. There were times in my rebellious days, early days, my mother held us very close, never made us do very much. We didn't get involved with too many things. When I got 18, she said, I can't make you do it now. But she said, I trust that them prayers, my prayers will stay with you. And brethren, they did. And when I remember coming home, mostly what I got into was really movies. I loved movies. And I would come home from the movies and I would hear prayer coming from my little house. My mother and my grandfather would be on their knees praying for us two boys especially, that we wouldn't be lost, that we would seek him before it was too late. And I would stay under, we had a big tamarind tree, big, it's a sort of sour fruit, makes drink out of it. But I would stay there and I would hear them praying from the depths of their heart that I would not be lost, that I would be saved, that God would have mercy on me. One day she told me, she says, I can't make you do it no more, the things that I held you to. But she says, one thing I can still do. She said, I'm going to pray that God make you miserable in a life of sin. And that worked too. I couldn't curse. I just couldn't drink. I couldn't smoke. I couldn't enjoy the things of this world. Prayer had an effect. The prayers that my mother and my grandfather prayed, they stayed with me. And I'm here tonight to say to you, even though it might look like it's not having no effect upon them, I tried to make them feel like, you know, like I didn't even hear her. If I heard, it was having no effect. But conviction was gripping my soul every time I heard that kind of prayer. And it stayed with me even as I drifted away and got into things. I only had 3 years that I really was away from my mother. before the Lord saved me at 21. But even for those 3 years, there was regrets. I wish I had got saved earlier. I wish I had just came in one of those nights that I heard them praying and said, pray for me that I would be saved. Young people, if you tonight, if you're here outside of the fold of God, if you got a praying mother, a praying father, I'm telling you that you're blessed if you got someone that carries your name before God in a way that it affects them, then it surely will affect us. And the prayers of my mother and grandfather has stood with me down through the years. I remember 2015, I was supposed to be coming up to the camp meeting for the June camp meeting. And she passed the 17th of June 2015. As I tried to help the hospice to lift her up, I just felt that her little body went limp in my arms. And I thought about it. How I could have probably encouraged her some more. Made her know that the prayers had helped, that the prayers worked, that the prayers were still working. So when young people and even, you know, families seem like they're not being affected, if you pray in that effectual, fervent prayer, that prayer that is breaking your heart up, causing tears to flow in your prayer life. I'm telling you, those prayers are reaching your loved ones. And don't you give up, don't you get discouraged because it don't happen so quickly. We just have to keep on keeping on. Even though I never showed them or gave them any encouragement of the prayers, it just kept coming. It just kept coming. They just kept praying. And I thank God that I was saved before both of them was able to see me saved before they died. And that meant a lot. My grandfather died in 1990. My mother in 2015. But by the time each one died, I was already saved, and I had time of fellowship and prayer with them. And it means something to really have someone praying for you. So Elijah prayed that effectual, fervent prayer. When he got there, you know, it sounds like, according to James, it make it sound like it just happened. But when you really see how when you really read the account in the Old Testament, in the book of Kings, 1 Kings 18, 41 to 46, how he prayed. And it just didn't happen. He sent his servant and he came back. He says, there's nothing. And he prayed again and he sent him and he came back. He said, go 7 times. Tonight, things might not happen instantly. But if we pray in the effectual prayer that first affects us, I thought of many times as, you know, the early years as I came up here, we used to spend a lot of time over to the print shop with Brother and Sister Fowler, and she would pray for her. She would hear him praying for the children. And those, you know, to see Danny saved today, it is just a wonderful thing to realize that prayer still works. Prayer is still the key, and we have to learn to pray. Amen. So tonight, Elijah prayed. And he set the servant, and his servant came back after the seventh time. He said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. That's not much to say that, you know, there's going to be a lot of rain. But that was all that Elijah needed. This was a man that prayed for God to close up heaven. The Bible don't tell us how long he prayed, how many times he prayed, or any gives us much details till Jesus said that he prayed such a prayer that it touched heaven and heaven closed down. Not even dew passed through to bring those people back to their feet, but bring them around to the place to where they would realize that God was still God. Tonight we need to realize that our prayer life is something that we need to cherish. Our times to pray. Prayer is a wonderful thing. And then, you know, he prayed earnestly. And then what really jumped at me some time ago, I was reading of Jesus in the garden. The Bible tells us in Luke 22 about Jesus' prayer. Bible lets us to know in verse 41 to 46, beginning first maybe from verse 39, and he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. We still need to pray for that. Don't enter in. There is no joy if you enter into it. So And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and he prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Brethren, when I read that, I had to talk to God very honest and candid. I said, Lord, am I really praying? Or am I just saying prayers? The Bible said that Jesus prayed more earnestly. Could Jesus be more earnest than he was ever? The Bible lets us to know over in Matthew 26, 36 to 44, the Bible said that he prayed more earnestly. And then it said that he prayed three times, saying the same words. So I broke it down like this. He prayed more, and then he prayed earnestly. I've never seen anywhere else throughout the scriptures where Jesus had to pray three times for anything. Everything that Jesus done, one prayer was ever sufficient. But the Lord and the burden that he was carrying, and how the devil was fighting him right there, that he would walk away from his commitment to die for lost mankind. Oh, friends, he didn't have to do it. But thank God that he did. I'm so grateful tonight. He prayed, and these are lessons. Jesus, being in an agony, prayed more earnestly. And if you really think about that, measure up your prayer comparing or up against Jesus' prayer of being more earnest. Elias prayed earnestly. Scripture said Jesus prayed more earnestly. Another notch up. So you can pray earnest in your prayer. You're earnest, you really want things to happen. Do you really want revival? Do you really want to see souls being swept away, you know, swept into the kingdom of God? Revival, brethren, I thank God for the mercy drops that are falling. But oh, for those showers where we would see people once more like how it used to be, really flocking the altar for prayer, for salvation. And I believe it was because people prayed more earnestly back in the day. We have so many things going against us today that it is hard for us to get right down into earnest prayer anymore with God. So many things vying for some of our time, and you know, we gotta cut the prayers short, and we're rushing through it in such a way we're not able to really make sure we got a contact before we gotta break away and just go. The psalmist said that he would pray. In the morning, God would hear his voice. That's a good place to start. Has anything ever crowded out your early morning prayer? I think of what Brother D.S. Warner said in one of his songs. He says, "Sweet morning is the time to pray. How lovely and how meet to send our early thoughts away up to the mercy seat." And it goes on to say, "Touch by thy hand, thou low we wake and rise from sweet." That hand of love that touches us. It's not the alarm that gets us up, friends. It's that hand of love that touches us. And he wakes us up. Brother Brooks used to say, instead of saying, "Good morning, Lord," he said, "Good Lord, this morning I gotta go." Friends, if we're going to see revival, it's going to take a greater effort, I believe, than what we're putting in it right now. But like I said, I'm throwing myself into it. You know, today, sometime it's just amazing how the devil works. The devil will get you to oppose preaching, oppose a message, oppose, you know, because if you oppose the message, if you oppose, it's hard to fight when you can feel opposition. It's hard to preach. And I say, Lord, give us revival. If it's not even in this week, Lord, make it be the next week. I just want to do my part. I want to pray revival down. I don't want the glory for no revival. I just want us to have revival. That's what I believe. We got to get back off of that plane of who going to get the glory for it. Amen. When you get down in earnest prayer with God, you don't care. You don't care who the preacher is. You don't care who the singers are. You just want the songs to be anointed. You just want the word to be anointed. You just want sinners to be troubled and find us themselves running to an altar of prayer. Until we get back there, friends, in our prayer life, we will not have revival. You see, revival, as I said many times, people wants to get the glory out of revival, And I believe sometimes that's why we don't get revival. Revival is to benefit everybody. Us as saints, I love when your pastor come down to be with us and he preach, and I see my congregation crowding the altar and drawing closer to God. I feel good. I feel glad. I don't worry about who it was that brought the message. I want the congregation to get help. Amen. So I'm grateful. I don't open my pulpit up to everybody or any and everybody. But it doesn't matter who God used to bring a stirring in our congregation. I say glory to God. Amen. So prayer is a wonderful thing. To pray often, but to step up a little bit more. And when I read that Jesus prayed more earnestly, he got so earnest that they start the sweat that was falling from his body was like great drops of blood. That's an agony. What an agony it brought in. The medical science said that it is possible, you know, to be under such mental stress that your blood mingle and get into your pores, and it's possible. But it's only under extreme stress that it will happen. Are you worried about who's going to get the glory? I read a reading some time ago about a little old sister up in, I think it was London, part of England, and she had heard about the great evangelist D.L. Moody. And she was praying that God would send D.L. Moody. Now, this man had a full calendar. Everybody wanted D.L. Moody for revivals. And this little woman, she would get up in the morning and she would pray and she would hold on to God and say, Lord, I hear that man is just reaching souls for you. Lord, my people needs revival. And she started to pour her heart out, and it went on for some time. And it just happened. No, it didn't. Nothing just happened. When D.L. Moody going to meet one of his appointments, the boat he was on experienced some engine problem. And it was just so, it just happened that where they pulled in for dry dock was not far from this little old sister's church. And being his custom, Sunday morning he grabbed up his Bible and he walked down the road, and here's this church building, and he decides he's going. He heard some singing and he went in and he sat down, and somebody recognized him and ran and told the pastor that D.L. Moody was there. And D.L. Moody was asked to preach that morning, and a revival broke out in that city. Starting in this little church that this old sister that wasn't even fit, being able to be faithful anymore in attendance because of physical conditions. But she prayed and she held on to God. And D.L. Moody preached there, and people started to flock the altar, and people was being saved by the hundreds. And he told the pastor, he said, I don't understand. He says, I never carried that kind of burden for this meeting. He says, I was on my way to a meeting. What's happened? The pastor said, well, I don't know either. But finally, before it was all over, she was able to get out to one service, and she started walking the aisles and shouting and praising God because God had finally answered her prayer, and D.L. Moody was there preaching in her church. Folks, make me tell you something. When our prayers affect us, it affects God, and once God is affected, things are going to happen, folks. So prayer is very, very essential. We need to learn that secret. So love and prayers and tears will do more to bring revival than all of man's plans. Plans is good. It says if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. But when it comes to souls, folks, make me tell you, God say all souls are mine. We're going to see souls say we got to touch God. We got to touch the throne of grace concerning the salvation of souls. And we need to, every one of you got some children that are lost, got some loved ones, brothers, sisters, relatives that are lost. Wouldn't it be good that we could see this building filled again in such a way that the very up top had to be reactivated and put out, set out for services like I heard that used to be years ago? I never did see it. Brother Brooks told me about it. He said when he started to come up here, when they moved from down to the old barn, came up to this building, he said the building was filled on the bottom and the top. Some of you may remember that, but God, I don't remember it, but that's not important. But we touch God, God will do great things for us. So prayer, that's all. You know, you say, well, I'm no nobody. That little woman could have said the same everything, but she prayed. And you know, one thing about prayer, our prayer needs to be specific. Sometimes we wander and we run around all about in our prayers, but the Bible says, concerning Paul over there in the 10th chapter of Romans, he said, brethren, my sincere desire in prayer to God is that Israel might be saved. I thought of that Syrophoenician woman when she came. You know, she came to Jesus and she came with one thing. She said that her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. And even though he didn't answer her, even though the disciples told him to send her away, she just kept on keeping on until she got what she was seeking from God. Because we know God got everything that we need, and he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we are able to ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So tonight, I just want you to feel that we can go up a little notch on our prayers. Get up that fervent, earnest prayer. Like Hannah, remember how when Hannah prayed, her prayer affected her. For years she stood there and lamented over the tempting and the alluring of her adversary, taunting of this adversary. But then she realized, I can do something about this, and she went to God in prayer. She went with such a burden, the words wasn't even coming out. The Holy Spirit had to come and convey the groanings to the throne of God. But when it was all over, she came back and she says, for this boy, I prayed. Tonight, may God help us to be challenged, freshly encouraged, that we can see things, brethren. We're just like Elias, a man subject to like passions, but he believed God and he asked for some hard things. You might think they don't want to be saved, but just keep a praying, just keep a fasting, just keep a keeping on. And by the grace of God, it would constrain us to go a little deeper in our prayer life. And I believe we will see souls being saved. May God bless you tonight, is my prayer.